about this.
Our brains change.
Memory isn't amazing.
What you think is in
our
there
our brains aren't
really
finished. They're not fully cooked yet.
You go with your heart. And
you don't have any idea why
we're
doing
so smart.
Most of the things that we're doing.
But here's the deal. We got a question from a listener who was interested in the ramifications of the fact that we don't like to express anger directly at people.
I'm Art Markman.
I'm Bob Duke.
I'm Rebecca McEnroy, and this is Two Guys on Your Head. Today, suppressing anger.
You rarely see people in public yelling at each other, and or you know, across the dinner table in a restaurant, people are just not screaming, even if they're angry, which means that they're holding it in. So what's going on with that? And in particular, we understand that you can inhibit a response. So I feel like chewing you out right now, but I'm not going to do it. And so my frontal lobes win, and I find a way not to do that. Now what?
Yeah.
That's the question.
Yeah. And I think this question is complicated by the misperception that intense emotion, especially emotions like anger, are somehow some substance that's in our bodies that needs to be let out. You know, it's like steam under pressure. And the only way I can feel better is to actually be angry let it out.
George Lakoff refers to this metaphor as anger is heated fluid in a container.
Yeah. And it's not.
Yeah.
I mean, I think when you adopt that point of view and think it is that, well, then goodness, well, then the thing I need to do is I need to find some way to let this out.
Got to vent.
But, you know, there's an interesting thing about the venting thing and why that misperception would continue. Because often after a venting, there's a momentary feeling better, right? And that feeling better, we talked in an earlier show about how there are a limited number of physiological responses, but a seemingly infinite number of interpretations of them. And actually, if you're very tense, and then that tension is released through some, whatever it is, if it might be screaming at somebody you want to scream at or whatever it happens to be, now that tension is relieved for a minute and you feel good about that. So what one doesn't often recognize is that good feeling subsequent to the yelling now predicts that you might be more likely to yell the next time because you felt so relieved after you, and now you think, I just need to get this out. No, actually, you taught yourself that. Yeah. You taught yourself that because you're trying to hold it in, you let it go, you have that moment of release of tension, and now you think, well, that's what I should be doing all the time.
And so what the data suggest are that people who learn to respond to building frustration by letting it out in a cathartic, somewhat violent way. When you learn to do that, it perpetuates. It becomes your habit in that situation. And so actually, it is a good thing in society that we've decided that the response to being angry with someone is not to lash out, but rather to hold it in and to and then to find a way to deal with it. Now, here's the important part. When you hold it back, you do have energy. There is, it's not that it's heated fluid in a container, but it is physiological energy. And so one of the things that you need to learn to do is to find ways to calm that energy down. Now, one way to do that is to just scream and yell, and that will make you feel better. But again, it becomes this violent habit. But as we've talked about on other shows, there are other things you can do, like deep breathing, which helps to dissipate that energy in a way that calms you without creating a more violent release.
The reason people get angry is often because they want something to change, right? There's something they don't like. I want to stop something. I want to get something to happen, but they want something to change. And unfortunately, in many circumstances, getting angry does lead to a change. Someone stops doing something that's annoying you, whatever it happens to be. But one of the things that makes it easier to suppress the anger is to recognize other ways you can influence change. I mean, if your first go-to response is anger, well, then you don't even have an opportunity to find out if you could have actually said that calmly in a way that didn't upset the person you're interacting with, and yet led to the kind of change that you're talking about. So it's not just a matter of holding it in for the sake of holding it in. It's, can I do something that is an alternative to what I feel like doing, which is screaming, and still bring about some change that I want to bring about?
And can I do something that won't perpetuate that anger? Yeah. Because the other thing that we've talked about is it's very easy to nurture your anger.
Yeah.
You know, you can walk around talking to other people going, can you believe what that jerk just did to me? You know, and then ruminating on that, thinking about it. And you can continue to maintain that level of anger and energy for a long period of time. And so it's not that repressing or inhibiting the action of yelling at somebody is a problem. It's not doing anything to change your internal state that's a problem. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, I think that those people who have effectively learned not to yell at other people also need to learn how to calm down from that situation, to think about other things, and ultimately allow themselves not to reflect on the situation that made them angry until a little bit of time has passed, so that they can begin to look at the situation with fresh eyes.
And you know, one of the things that makes this difficult for people is that most individuals are unpracticed at giving negative feedback without negative emotion. Generally, we don't give negative feedback to other people if we're not in some state of anger. And if that's the only occasion that you express negative feedback is when it's paired with negative emotion, well, then anything you come across that you don't like, something negative is going to happen, right? And so one of the alternatives that helps people manage angry situations more effectively is to actually practice, how could I express this idea in a way that doesn't have the heat in it?
Next week, we'll talk about the psychology of postpartum depression after completing big projects with Dr. Art Markman and Dr. Bob Duke. You can subscribe to the podcast of Two Guys on Your Head wherever you get your podcasts and find more information about the show, along with our entire archive, at KUT.org. David Alvarez is our engineer, and I'm Rebecca McEnroy. I produce Two Guys on Your Head at KUT Radio in Austin, Texas.